Hello, and welcome to the third in the series of the Aluminium On Air podcasts, brought to you in association with Aluminium International Today, the leading B2B magazine for the global aluminium manufacturing and processing industries. I'm Nadine Bloxham, editor of Aluminium International Today and content director for the Future Aluminium Forum. Across this series of podcasts, I'll be speaking to industry experts and well-known faces about the latest technical developments, new projects, investments, and general goings-on. This week sees something a bit different, with the focus on building cybersecurity resilience across the aluminium value chain. And I know just the right person to ask. Hello and welcome to our podcast guest today, which is a fantastic colleague, I can now call him. I've been working with him for I think the last couple of years, Alexis Garcia Perez, who is a reader in cybersecurity at Coventry University. Hello, Alexis.
Hello, Nadine. Thank you for inviting me to this podcast.
No, thank you very much for giving up your time. I know we've done quite a lot at the beginning of this year together, obviously. We launched a cybersecurity workshop, which was for the aluminium industry, but obviously that was the last event we were able to really run at the end of February, and everything has obviously stopped since then. So it's really good to speak with you. And just to give a bit of background, obviously, to anybody listening who isn't aware of how you've been working with both Aluminium International Today and the Future Aluminium Forum, we first started working together back in 2018, I believe it was, for the first Future Aluminium Forum. Where you presented on the subject of cybersecurity and making the aluminium industry and manufacturers aware. And then we've continued with that, obviously, and looking more at building a kind of cybersecurity resilience within the industry. And our last Future Aluminium Forum, you did a fantastic workshop, which was very well received, and everybody joined in. I think it was looking at a kind of case study, wasn't it, within the industry, and how they would work through what would happen if they were actually under a cyber attack. So that's great to see. But just starting with a question then from our last podcast guest, which that was Kelly Rogies from European Aluminium. And I know you're not technically within the aluminium industry, but she did ask, what do you enjoy most about working in the aluminium industry? So I suppose we can flip that a little bit for you and maybe say working with the aluminium industry.
Yes, you're right. I work for the university. So not working directly for the aluminium industry, I have been able to engage with the sector for a couple of years. And what I have enjoyed the most is the drive within the sector to adopt the latest technologies and the applications of technologies in the operation and management of the aluminium manufacturing.
Brilliant. And do you see, obviously, I think the first real time the aluminium industry saw any kind of impact from a cybersecurity breach or a cybersecurity attack, and one that was very well publicized, obviously, was the Norsk Hydro cyber attack in March. It was very widely publicized, and obviously we were made aware that it affected the entire global organization of Norsk Hydro. So how, kind of from that point of view, but how important do you think cybersecurity should be within an industry like aluminium manufacturing, and are we taking it seriously enough?
That's a very very interesting point, and we noticed last year how cybersecurity came up to almost top of the agenda of a number of aluminium manufacturing companies and the sector in general after the Norsk Hydro event. I normally talk about, instead of just cybersecurity, I talk of cyber resilience, digital resilience, and I want to give you a bit of a background on this. I would say that digital resilience is essentially a key in an industry like aluminium manufacturing today. And it, as important as it is the resilience of the industry to any other negative environmental factors, such as a natural disaster, or any other disruption to the business operations, which may put the people and their assets at risk. The question here would be why? Why is that the case? And the answer is not just related to the importance of the aluminium industry for the world economy. I think the importance of resilience in this particular case is related to what I was saying before, the increased vulnerability of the sector given the adoption of technologies. We have seen, particularly in the last few years, as the aluminium industry meet in events such as the Future Aluminium Forum, that the sector is moving fast towards adopting the principles of Industry 4. Just as a reminder, Industry 4 is a term that is used to describe the current trend in automation and data exchange in manufacturing technologies. Industry 4 says it's about the combination of cyber physical systems, the Internet of Things, cloud computing, artificial intelligence, data analytics, opening opportunities for the aluminium manufacturing sector to do more and to do it better and faster, and to focus on changes to customer delivery. And now, while in the past, information technologies and operation technologies were two separate worlds in manufacturing in general, not only aluminium manufacturing, with the efforts of the aluminium sector to adopt those technologies, these two worlds are merging together and are doing it fast. And that's because Industry 4 is data-driven, it's a data-driven concept, which relies on those technologies being highly networked and automated. Now, we know that information technology in manufacturing is increasingly we know that it's increasingly targeted by a thriving cybercrime economy. That's not a secret. The manufacturing sector is the third most hit by cyber attacks in the UK. What happens now is that as the maturity of the digital manufacturing plans grows, the risk of cybersecurity incidents, such as a phishing attack, also increases. And we're not only talking about a cyber attack. Any digital incident, such as a software crash or on a computer, could have a negative impact on manufacturing operations, potentially taking a whole facility offline for hours or days, and even affect the safety of a plant and the safety of the workforce.
Yeah, it is a safety issue as well as more digital issue, isn't it?
Yes, it's the interconnectivity before the information technologies and the digital technologies actually makes it what used to be a purely digital incident could be turned into a physical, into a safety incident. And that's important. That's an important point to make. That it's not just the consequences of a digital incident are not just a disruption of the daily operation for a business. A cyber attack today could determine the future of a company with effects that may range from financial losses to loss of intellectual property or of their products, losing customers, major fines, but most of all, the safety issue for the company.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing a lot more as well is this cybersecurity idea coming under the umbrella now of kind of health and safety, and in a way that's good because it needs the kind of priority as well, and it also needs to be seen as a safety, you know, incident if a breach happens. But it's interesting you say as well, a fact you just mentioned, that the manufacturing sector in the UK is the third most hit by cyber attacks, which that's a really big, well, it's a big fact, isn't it, really, and a big, yes, big number.
Yes, it's only behind the financial sector, and Nadine, I'll have to go back to check what's the second sector there. I hope if you can not include this bit in the
that's okay
in the podcast. But I think it's only behind the financial sector, and I don't remember what's the second sector there. But yes, sorry.
Don't worry. No, that's okay. No, and this is all live, and this is all going ahead. So don't worry. We can find the other. We can find the other sectors. But I imagine it's more to do with a kind of government infrastructure or things like that, which we know a big target as well. But yeah, it's just really interesting to see how the aluminium industry has already begun to kind of adopt certain technologies, like you say, the Industry 4 technologies and things, but also some interesting points that have come up out of recent conversations I've had with people within the sector is that they actually feel almost like the digitalization of the manufacturing process is kind of hampering the efforts to provide more of a cybersecurity resilience, because there's so much you know, attention being paid towards these new technologies and remote working and yeah, just the whole digitalization of the value chain, that actually there is a need to help kind of establish the areas within these new digital technologies that can become vulnerable and can become open. So what ways do you think the value chain can work to improve its resilience? Do you think we need more training, or do you think we just need more kind of information about how, you know, a plant or a company could be at risk?
Well, it's good that you mentioned the value chain. As in the same way that Industry 4 is concerned with adoption of new technologies and the applications by the industry, and not just one organization, the concept of digital resilience of the sector is determined by the digital risks of every stakeholder across the whole value chain. For the aluminium industry to be resilient, each manufacturer would need to clearly understand what cybersecurity, cyber resilience means for their own business, for their specific plans, and how the security of each of their sites fits into the context of the overall business. So yeah. What does it mean in practical terms? It means that a manufacturer should be able to assess the digital resilience of each plant, the development of cyber resilience objectives, an investment that needs to be prioritized in terms of security, cybersecurity, and of course having an ongoing strategic plan for their plant, a strategic plan for their plants. And when I say a manufacturer, I mean the management board. The key point that you mentioned there before was that cybersecurity and digital resilience in general is gaining importance, but it's still not always in the management board. It's still not one of the key issues discussed by the management board, and it needs to be.
And I know you mentioned before as well, you know, we need to come away from a kind of a blame culture and actually more be happy to actually say, oh, you know, if you've opened an email or if you think there's been something that's not quite right on your computer or anything like that, it's actually being able to speak up about it and not having that blame and not having that the responsibility all on you. It has to still be a company-wide responsibility.
Absolutely, and that's where issues like the culture of the company have to be considered very carefully. Those organizations where the culture of the organization is to encourage people to share and to say what they do right, but also when they make a mistake, are less likely to be affected by someone making a mistake and then keeping it quiet. And if they don't share it, if they don't say it to those who are able to action on that mistake, if someone clicks the wrong link on a phishing email and they just keep it quiet, the company may get someone, a cyber criminal inside the information infrastructure doing something and not knowing it. So
yeah.
I think it's important that all members of the board can work towards bringing that message to the organization that cybersecurity is a company-wide issue. It affects everyone and every member of the staff, actually. Every employee, not just member of the board. Every employee should be a member of the cybersecurity team, within the organization.
And especially within, work culture, it's funny. If I have an email that comes through on my Gmail or my personal email account or anything like that that I don't think looks quite right, I'm aware straight away and I know to delete it or just not touch it or whatever, just stay away, as it were. But with with a work email, you get so many different emails coming through. There's so much kind of junk within there that sometimes you don't almost have the same attitude, sometimes I find, to it being a work email, because you think, oh, just delete it. But then also there are sometimes where you think, actually, is that something I need to be paying attention to or actively opening? And they can look very convincing, some of these emails as well. So yeah, I think you're right. I think it's just really applying that same attitude to any thing you have access to within a work facility, and making sure you're aware and not afraid to kind of say, oh, I might have clicked on this, or I might have done something, just yes, in case.
Yes, exactly. I think I have mentioned before our collaboration with a particular organization to test the cybersecurity. It was a confidential. We produced a confidential report for them, and we worked with them on over 2 months. Over the course of 2 months, our team gained access and even modified a significant volume of their digital resources, without needing to use any hacking skills or any specialist software or hardware. We only used social engineering techniques, social scam phishing emails. We left some memory sticks with potentially malicious software in public spaces, in the car park, in the reception of the organization, at the company, by the printer, and we also tried impersonating people over the phone using details that were available online. And interestingly, over 650 members of the staff released their login credentials to us without realizing what they were doing, by only responding to our scam emails or picking up the USB memory stick from the printer and just checking, just pure curiosity, and see what was in there. Uh-huh. And they were just opening a malicious piece of software that would send their login password, more details. They would send the computer that they used to check to open the to use the device, etc. And these, I remember in that particular case, we offered a chance to win an iPad within that email, and we crafted that email.
That hooks them in.
we crafted that email nicely to avoid any spellings or anything. We put the branding of the organization in the email, and it looked relatively genuine. But in giving up the details, those workers opened the door of the company's information infrastructure to unknown potential cyber criminals.
Yeah, and no one won an iPad at the end of it either.
No one won the iPad. Yes.
Oh no! So, obviously, what kind of areas then of the aluminium industry in particular do you think are most likely to experience some kind of breach like that? Because obviously, I don't know, but I'm not sure if companies themselves are setting certain, I'd say, traps, but tests like this for their staff members and things like that. But do you think there's a particular part of the industry that we need to really be focusing on and looking to kind of develop more of a collaborative approach to the cybersecurity management there?
Well, I'd say there's no particular area which is secure by default or digitally secure by default. There's no safety, unless, of course, they're totally disconnected from the network and therefore not benefiting from the use of technologies. But areas that rely on information technologies are exposed to cyber attacks, which mm-hmm. may seek to gain access to the company's data, not only data, the information and the knowledge base of the company. And in my views, perhaps the more concerning are those areas that rely on the use of industrial control systems. Because remember, in the past, those systems used to be isolated units operating offline. So security functions such as authentication, data encryption, password management, access control, they were not necessary and they were not envisaged at the time. So as those legacy systems connect to the network today, operational technology may not be considered secure by design. And that means that cyber criminals can, through the information technology, through the typical channels that they used to access information technology, they can actually have an impact on the physical world, on the safety of the workforce. So it's important that wherever there is a connection between the digital and the physical world, and I'm talking about the plants, and cybersecurity is taken particularly seriously.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we've tried to highlight this, obviously, with the Future Aluminium Forum, you know, bringing cybersecurity to the forum and making sure that any delegates there are aware. And also, I know it's something that we're trying to really highlight even across just the Aluminium International Today website. Now we have a dedicated cybersecurity section where the plan is that we can make sure we're updating the industry with different news, whether or not it's actual cybersecurity news from you know the aluminium sector, but just to give hints and tips and you know see how other sectors are dealing with certain attacks or breaches and what we can learn from that, really. So hopefully going forward with your expertise as well, I know you'll be joining us again at the next Future Aluminium Forum, which is planned for December, so we can just hope we get there and we're everything stays in plan there, in place there. But yeah, the idea and looking at sort of building a collaborative approach to cybersecurity, because I know when we hosted the workshop in February, which was obviously UK based, and it was just to get an idea of where the sector is with developing kind of resilience and how certain companies are already working. There was a need highlighted that it needs to be, you know, collaborative, and we all need to work together. And if there are any breaches or anything that happens, it's best to let the industry know and almost help, you know, alert, as it were. We need an alert system or something like that, just to say this has happened to us, it could happen to you, and follow in Norsk Hydro's footsteps, really, and really highlight if there's been anything that's gone on, and keep everyone as knowledgeable about it as possible, so we know what to look out for. But yeah, hopefully you can help us to develop that kind of approach, and we can discuss more at the forum in December and really get the industry on board and see what other ways we can help them with, really.
Yes, two points there. One is that the global aluminium supply chain is highly interdependent. Any risk to one supplier could immediately have an effect on the organization, or if criminals gain access to information about your particular business by being successful in attacking another part of the sector. So we need to continue to work with the aluminium industry, and with the Future Aluminium Forum is really an ideal platform for this. In bringing that awareness of the interdependence of the different parts of the sector, and very important, the fact that cyber security, digital resilience. These are not technical, purely technical concepts. And we need to move beyond the perception of cybersecurity as a technology issue, which requires a technology solution. Cybersecurity is the management. It's a cybersecurity management. It's the management of the challenge of the cybersecurity challenge. How to continue to operate? How to recover? How to collaborate in the development of solutions? As you mentioned, how to raise awareness? How to have some sort of a cyber threat sharing intelligence, intelligence sharing, so that we can, when one part of the sector is aware of it being attacked or any particular threats being there, that they are shared, that they all the parts of the sector become aware of it, as it happens in other sectors, like financial sector. So we need to move beyond the technical perception of the cybersecurity to adopt it by the board, by the management board.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think that's really a good place to leave this conversation. I could speak to you about cybersecurity all day. It's a topic I'm really interested in and something that I'm really quite passionate about driving forward in the aluminium industry and making sure everyone's on a similar path to being resilient and just to being aware, really. So thank you for your time and for your spreading your knowledge on that, and we'll continue to work together and continue to put information out there and just keep the industry updated, I think, as we go. But do you have, obviously, like we've been doing, and I know you answered the first question from Kelly, who was our last guest, but do you have a question you would like to put to our next guest, whoever that may be, and whether it's cybersecurity relevant or not?
Well, thank you, first of all, Nadine. Thank you for inviting me to this podcast. It's really good that we can discuss these topics. Now, questions related to cybersecurity and more. Is I'd like to ask the next speaker, how, in their views, is at least the company, if not the whole sector, dealing with the current situation caused by the current pandemic, and in terms of how it's affecting the security of the plant, if they have seen any increase in the cyber criminals and other criminals trying to benefit from it.
Excellent. Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think whoever my next guest is will have a tough time to answer that. But yeah, I think it's great to highlight and also to show what is going on at this time and how we still need to be aware. Obviously, there's so many changes within our sector at the moment and within global sectors that it might leave us open and it might leave us vulnerable. So unfortunately, you can't kind of take your focus from that with everything else going on as well. But yeah, really interesting and great to speak with you as always, Alexis. So thank you very much for your time. And as I said, we'll keep everybody else updated with our plans for the next forum and how you'll be involved and how they can also join and come and hear more from you about cybersecurity resilience. And I'm sure you'll have another interesting workshop up your sleeve for our delegates.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be able to run in December.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you very much, Nadine, for the time.
Thank you.
Inviting me to the podcast.
Fantastic. Good to speak with you. Thanks very much, Alexis.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed listening to the third in the series of the Aluminium On Air podcasts. If you'd like to know more about any of the topics discussed with regards to building cybersecurity resilience in your company, then please visit www.aluminiumtoday.com, where there is a dedicated cybersecurity section on the website with regular news and updates, as well as general tips and advice on staying cyber aware.